It's well known in Alaska that we lead the nation in rates of suicide, but there is silence surrounding the deaths. The conversation that may be the most important of all is not being had nearly enough in Alaska. Why do the numbers stay so high? What's the best way to effectively reach out to those who are at risk? Spring is a time when suicide numbers increase, and they have in Alaska. Suicide prevention and hope for those who are hurting and at risk is our discussion today on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit alaskaquitline.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Hello, this is Talk of Alaska, and I'm Lori Townsend. It's a topic people don't want to talk about, but it's important that we do. An Anchorage Police Department detective told me in May there had been at least 8 suicides in Anchorage during the month of May. I found one of the 8 people in Anchorage who killed themselves. I was running with my dog early in the month. I won't give details because I don't want to pile on to the pain that family members must be feeling at the loss of this young man. Just this morning, APD released the report on his death to me. It's not easy to find the numbers on suicides because there is usually no public notification. If there had been 8 murders, we would all be aware, but not when it's a suicide. I'm not casting blame on APD. The culture of silence is not caused by the police. It's larger than that. APD's policy is that they don't release information about suicides until the next of kin have been notified. It's not generally released publicly for the sake of the families and their privacy. But suicide victim information is not protected. It's unlike sexual assault, where that information is protected. But it's not something that is generally disclosed. And if the suicide happens in a family residence, then names are not disclosed. How do we help those who are struggling if we don't look at the harsh reality of the numbers and find ways to change them? How do we find those ways if we aren't having a fully informed discussion? Here to help us get started is Cynthia Erickson. Cynthia lives in Tanana. She started My Grandmother's House and is a member of the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council. She joins us by phone from Tanana. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And in the studio with me today is Eric Boyer with UAA Center for Human Development. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, too.
Thanks so much for being here. Eric's group works on suicide prevention training around the state, especially in the interior. Cynthia will be with us for the entire program, but Eric has to leave at the bottom of the hour. So let's start with you, Eric, and the work that you're doing in suicide prevention. I also want to let those listening around the state that you can also join the conversation today. The call-in number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-8255. If you are in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We're having the difficult discussion today about suicide. And Eric, why is there such, before we talk about the work that you do specifically, why is there such a silence about suicide? Does it make sense to you that we hear nothing about these deaths?
Well, suicide is something traditionally in our cultures around the world, and America is no different in Alaska, that we feel guilt and shame over the loss of somebody because we learn what happened afterwards and we think, well, we could have done something to prevent it. So shame and stigma, and then what our communities believe about us, or that openness to talk about suicide is something that has not traditionally been there. So we tend to withdraw and hide that information, which is interesting in light of the story you just shared with us, Lori, because postvention, what you do after a suicide crisis, is something we also train statewide. And the important thing is when we talk openly about suicide and the support that's out there, it's a bit counterintuitive to us in that it does reduce the risk of future suicides and promotes healing, is what we're ultimately looking for in a family and a community that's suffered a loss like a suicide.
Well, that's a point that I want us to talk about for a moment. There's a lot of sentiment that I've heard expressed in the past that we don't want to talk about it because people are afraid that it may inspire more suicides. But what it sounds like what you're saying is the opposite, that if it's more discussed and people have this conversation, that actually we would be preventing suicides.
Yes, that is correct. What we know is when media sources, when public entities from churches to universities to organizations talk safely, what we call safe messaging, about a suicide and let people know it's okay to talk about it and that there's help available and healing, that we actually reduce future suicides. And we've seen that on global efforts. If you look at all the efforts after Robin Williams' death back in the fall to put crisis lines out there, mental health supports, recovery groups, and even survivors of suicide groups, which we have some here in Alaska, which also kind of put the stigma and shame aside and let people talk openly and move on and heal in that process.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned safe messaging. Suicide touches almost everyone's life. My first experience with it was in high school and losing two friends to suicide. And then as recently, most recently was in May. And I remember feeling some of that guilt about how did I not see signs in my friends?
Yes.
How did I not know that I should be doing something or saying something? How did I not pick up on that?
Yes.
What is the safe messaging that you're talking about?
So when we talk about safe messaging, when a suicide has occurred or suicides in a community like Alaska, we talk about the act itself, but we don't bring up the details of how somebody died or sensationalize the act, but remember the person for who they were and the things that they were a part of in a community and a family, and reporting on the warning signs. That's a safe way to let people know so that they can be aware of what suicide looks like and then how to intervene and what the resources are here in Alaska to get somebody help.
We're talking today on Talk of Alaska about suicide prevention, suicide's spike in the springtime. You can join our conversation at 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-8255, or in Anchorage, 550-8422, 550-8422. I want to get Cynthia in here in just a moment, but Eric, you've been doing behavioral health work for many years. What are the main traumas that lead someone to attempt suicide?
Well, here in Alaska, I think it has some of those issues of extreme climate and our northern latitude. With that, people that do suffer from depression and loneliness and not being able to have connections to folks, whether it's within their village, their town, their culture. We have large military groups here, which can be isolated. And those, I think, factors can culminate with somebody not feeling supported or somebody to go to. And then they can isolate, withdraw, and they can have those thoughts where they actually think the world would be better off without them. And when we can partner up and see those things, that's where we can really intervene and talk to somebody and let them know that it's okay to have those feelings and what we can do to move ahead in a positive way and get support.
I just read recently that the extreme amount of light in the springtime may be one of the contributing factors to suicides increasing in the spring, that people have, I know that I have a very hard time sleeping.
Yeah.
And that contributes to people feeling worn down and depression. Yeah. And how big a role do you think that is?
Well, you know, there remains to be some research done on that. There is a few studies that are looking at that and some speculation. But again, I think more study needs to be done on that. I think it's one factor. Suicide in itself is a complex act. There's many factors that come together. So there's no one thing that we can point to. But what we do know is people forming relationships and connections and helping people feel a part of something bigger in the home, in the community, in a school. Those are areas like the work that Cynthia's doing. She'll give a really good concrete example of giving adolescents and young adults that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And Cynthia, let's bring you in now. Thank you so much for being with us. Cynthia Erickson lives in Tanana, and Eric was just talking about the importance of being connected to family, to friends, to your community, and also to something larger, to feeling a sense of connection and a sense of worth. Cynthia, let's talk about your efforts in Tanana. You started a 4-H group, which I have to admit, when I first heard about it a few years ago at AFN, I thought, that's interesting, 4-H. Growing up in the Midwest, there was lots of 4-H groups in my neighborhood and surrounding area because there was a lot of agriculture. But why did you decide to start a 4-H group in Tanana?
About over 4 years ago, we had 6 suicides. One was my brother-in-law, hung himself from a fan, and another one was a young boy here that shot himself. And I knew all 6 of these, all 5 young Native boys. A few were in their late 20s and early 30s, and one girl. And I decided after going through that, I was just, and I always say, I don't know how people can go to war and come back, because that was a turning point in my life. And we'd always dealt with bringing the family in and, you know, dealing with all the suicides and the whole thing. And I ended up going to Juneau because I'd helped a guy who had similar experiences with suicide out of the McGrath area. So a lady had walked into our office and was with 4-H. And then I asked, you know, I said, I know what it is generally. What is it? And really the only thing, I didn't know anything about it, just basic, you know, agriculture and animals and stuff. And the thing that really got me was she'd said, helping hands, healing hearts. And I just looked at her and was like, that's what I need. That's what our children need. And so when I got back to Fairbanks, I went in and said, okay, what do I need to do? And then I'm like, well, I'm doing that anyway. So it was just kind of trying to find something to make us and the youth feel like they belong to something. It was our group. And it was good for a while, but it just, I think, talking about issues that they never really dealt with. It's an awesome after-school, all-American, normal urban program, but we didn't fit. We weren't pieces of the puzzle. I'm dealing with cutters and kids that are texting, you know, they're going to check out and say, I love you, tell so-and-so. I mean, pornography has gotten real big in the villages. Just a lot of issues that are just not part of that world. So we ended up, you know, we want to change laws with predators in our villages and going to the school. We want to deal with molesting issues. And that wasn't part of their circle. And so we ended up pulling out and starting our own little 501(c), which we named My Grandma's House in Athabasca and Sitsuya, because we generally all have good grandmas, and that's where we feel comfort and happiness. It's moose soup and fresh bread, and so that's kind of where we're at now, and breaking off and starting our own. So,
well, you mentioned pornography and also abuse. A Department of Justice figure, a recent New York Times article cites a Department of Justice figure that says Native American people suffer sexual abuse at a rate that is 2.5 times higher than the national average.
Mm-hmm.
This is a question for both you and Eric. How big a piece is sexual assault? We lead the nation in Alaska in mm-hmm. all of these terrible distinctions. How big a piece does sexual assault play in the high numbers of suicides that we have here, would you say?
Well, this...
It's big. It's very big.
Yeah.
Eric.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I agree with you, Cynthia, and I think it's definitely one of those leading factors. But mm-hmm. there's definitely... When recovery and help and support from family and professionals for somebody in that place, there are people who come through that and go on to live, you know, a new normal, we would call that, in terms of life. But if they're not receiving help and support, it definitely would magnify, you know, depression and withdrawal.
I want to talk about... emotional resiliency. We're going to take some calls here in a moment. We've got some callers on the line, and you can also join our conversation if you'd like. We're having the difficult discussion today about suicide and what we can all do to help prevent more suicides from happening in our communities, in our families, in our state. Our number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-8255. If you'd like to join us in Anchorage, it's 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment, but how important is emotional resiliency? What exactly is that, and how big a factor is that in how people can recover from traumas that happen in their lives?
Well, being resilient is being able to bounce back in life from something. And so your emotions, your mood, and the impact, whether it's being happy or fearful or angry, the people and a person that's suffered from trauma need somebody to talk to, so they need a safe place to do it and safe people. And to be able to do that, for it to work, judgment has to be left out of that equation. When somebody feels judged who's emotionally ravaged or physically or both, they're makes things worse, and they're not able to get the help and support they need. So having that person, that group, that's why Cynthia's grandma's house is a great avenue in the village. Here in Anchorage, through our Anchorage Suicide Prevention Coalition efforts, we've helped support a youth movement within our high schools called You Are Not Alone. And it's been a great grassroots movement that started at West High School and has spread to schools all over the state in the last year.
And can this resiliency be taught? Is it something that people sort of innately have, or can this be taught, this resiliency?
You know, I think there's some innate things that definitely lend ourselves to that support, but also knowing the knowledge around what helps to be resilient so that you can look at your own emotional reactions to things like suicide or sexual abuse or violence, and be able to notice your reactions and what impact those might have, those nonverbal. So that's an important part of that equation, is being able to support somebody without judgment coming through, and then feel supported and heard and validated and be able to have somebody they can go to. That's why crisis lines like what we have here in Alaska are so important, because you can have somebody to go to 24/7 on a confidential line to talk to somebody.
And I wanted to let our listeners know that we will put those numbers on our website. So those will be available after this program. If you know someone that may need some help, or you want to reach out yourself, please go to the website, alaskapublic.org, following today's program, and find some of those resources, some of those numbers, and use them, because that can make a big difference in someone's lives. We're going to go to the phone lines now. Galena is with us from Anchorage. Good morning.
Good morning.
And did you have a comment you'd like to make?
Yes, I do have a comment. And first, I would like to introduce myself. I'm Galina Vladi. I'm originally from Siberia, and I've been following my traditional, I would say, a tradition that has been forgotten in Alaska, the shamanic tradition, has called for me at one point, and I obeyed. I have gone through initiation in Mongolia, and now I can say I'm a shaman. And I do my work for the land and for the people. And I have awareness that the majority of us don't have the awareness of our connection with the spirit world. And this is what I discovered on my path, that this is one of the reasons that influences the whole being of this state. Because the land carries the trauma of centuries, of millennia. There's so much violence has happened on this land. And when people die, the spirits, if they die in a violent death, the spirits can't leave. They're trapped. And they influence people who live. I want to tell a story. At one point, I was in Juneau, and a friend of mine, he told me, Galina, I want to bring you to a very special place. I want you to feel it, because shamans, they have a special perception. And when he brought me to that place, as I remember, it's called Point Zero, but I might be mistaken. And we walked through a group of trees. It was a small peninsula, and all of a sudden I was in the spirit world, and there were spirits all around me, and they were stretching their arms saying, help me, help me. And I asked, what had happened here? And he told me that about 100 years ago, or I don't remember how many years ago, there was a massacre. Russians killed all the people of the whole tribe, and the spirits are still there. And spirits who are trapped in this reality, they carry all those emotions they have gone through that violent death, and they influence people's minds with these emotions. And nowadays there is a recreation area. So he told me that young people being called to go there, and they bring alcohol, and they party, and they commit suicides.
Mm. Well, Galina, thank you for describing that for us, that very traumatic event that you experienced, and thank you for the work that you do. Eric, part of this is looking at historical trauma, and there's more and more known about that. What Galina was talking about is sort of that connection to the past and the traumas of the past. I know that you have to leave soon, but please talk a little bit about the current thinking and research that looks at historical trauma and the influence that it has.
Well, we know when things that historically have impacted peoples, like in Alaska, that those things carry on generation to generation. And so there's real efforts. If you go out to Bethel, several groups out there, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, does things around wellness in the families, and they're aware of those past histories, and they talk about their cultural strengths and their healing, and they move forward so that weight of that isn't carried on. And so they have an openness, again, talking about and not hiding, so there's not shame around that, and they move forward as a people. So that's an important part. And the whole being, the emotional, physical, spiritual, all those things play a role in a person's health and wellness and support.
Mm-hmm. Are there, you mentioned the care line.
Yes.
Would you give that number out? And also, what other resources do you want people to be aware of?
Well, statewide, we have a crisis line in Fairbanks, and it's called CareLine, and it's C-A-R-E, CareLine, and it's a 1-877-266-HELP. And that's the one 24/7 confidential line. And if you're in most towns and even villages that are connected to rural hubs, the tribal entities, the hospitals, the community health centers will have local crisis lines. Like here in Anchorage, we have 563-3200 is our local crisis line, which is manned by Providence Hospital and a joint relationship with the Anchorage Community Mental Health. So there's crisis lines. There's local coalitions like here in Anchorage and Juneau and Fairbanks, and they have a cross-section of members and survivors of suicide who help support communities, support the police. The statewide Alaska Police and Fire Chaplain Services, they have survivors of suicide groups that meet. They provide healing and support and somebody else to call and talk to because they have chaplains all over the state who take a real non-judgmental approach to supporting people in the community. So it's really important.
There are a lot of resources. There are crisis lines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But as we know, part of the problem is that people start to self-isolate. And,
yes.
And I think that gets back to some of the guilt that those who are left feel, that they didn't see these signs, that they didn't recognize them.
Yes.
Without adding to that guilt, what do we want people to look for? I realize that you can't always tell if someone is in this terrible state until it's too late. But what are some of the things that you'd want folks to watch for in your final moments here?
Well, you know, when you're dealing in entities or communities or groups, you know, somebody who has a change in their mood, you know, their affect, they're changing their emotions. If they withdraw from relationships that they normally are part of, if there's things going on where they're making comments that, you know, you won't have to worry about me next week, or you won't have to worry about this project, or things like that, or they start putting their affairs in order, they start giving prized possessions away. So there's some of those things. And, you know, in this day and age of social media, especially with younger people, if you see them really isolating and withdrawing into a world of technology, monitoring that, seeing what are they saying, letting friends and family members be aware so that they can monitor that, and to not leave it alone when you see those things. Follow up. Be with that person. Listen. Talk to them. Let them know you're there to support them and that you care about them and you want them to live. And ultimately, if somebody's in that place, you could ask them if they are thinking about suicide and then let them know it's going to be okay, that you're there for them and to get them help and support. And you're not going to make the situation worse by asking them. All the research, all the literature, everything we know points to that.
Well, that's excellent information for us to have. I know that you have to leave. Thank you so much, Eric Boyer, for
being
with us and sharing your information with us. When we get back from a short break, we're going to be talking more with Cynthia Erickson. We'll be taking more calls. We're also going to hear coming out of the break from one of the students that Cynthia has been working with. These are young people who were very courageous and spoke up at AFN in Fairbanks a couple of years back. One of the first times that young people really stood up and bravely spoke out openly about the pain and trauma and things that were happening in their communities, and challenging people to step up and take on these issues, sexual assault, abuse, substance abuse, and do something about it. We'll hear from them and we'll talk with Cynthia Erickson when we come back as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The Older Persons Action Group is the publisher of the monthly Senior Voice newspaper and the 2015 Directory for Older Alaskans. To order the directory or learn more, go to SeniorVoiceAlaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG.
Confused, and I am sad. All I wanted to do was scream, but I had to stay strong, because all they want is to see you down. But don't ever let them see you down. Keep your head up. My father committed suicide, and I'm super mad. Take care of your family and friends, because none of you want to go through what I went through. Spend time with them, because one day they're not going to be there with you. At the time, many of my family members were abusing drugs and alcohol, and it hurt me more because instead of talking about it, they thought that drugs and alcohol would help, but it doesn't. If anything, it makes it worse. I say no more suicide, and I am proud to say that I took the pledge to stop suicide.
We're talking today on Talk of Alaska about suicide prevention, and you just heard from a brave young person who stood up at AFN, Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Fairbanks. Cynthia, you worked with this group, and you were there that day on stage. Tell us about how you got to the point where the students and or the young people that you were working with felt strong enough and courageous enough, because it took a lot to stand up there and say the things that they did so openly. There was a lot of pain. How long did it take you to work up to this type of presentation?
Well, after all of the suicides, I just started meeting with the kids, and we'd sit down at the bank and we'd swim, we'd have a bonfire, we'd pick berries, and in the berry patch or around the table, sewing our cuss bucks, the kids would always, and we would never say we're going to talk about rape or who was molested or what the muckety mucking down. And a lot of stuff started coming out, and I'd say, okay, what do you think we should do? How do you feel about it? So it was really just sharing and helping each other. And AFN had the elders and youth. And so we applied thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen. And then all of a sudden we got a call that we were picked, and I'm like, oh, crap, what do we do? And I didn't know what to do. And so I asked the kids, well, what do you think? And they're like, I don't know. And what do you want to talk about? And why are we doing this? And healthy living, stopping suicides, productive lives, clean, healthy, happy. And so I said, well, think about what we're going to do. And each individual one that came by watched TV, so I'd asked them. I had one piece of paper, and at the end of it, it was in bold letters, suicide, in an X in a box. And I said, what are the issues that lead to this? Why do you think Michelle commits suicide? Why do you think Corey? Why do you think Paul? Why do you think, what did they cry about at night? What did they hurt so bad that they want to take their lives? So think about it and write something. And I don't want you to dot your I's or cross your T's. Just write from your broken heart. Each of those, of course, the girls went 5 pages. The boys just knocked it out. And they came up with molesting, disrespectful elders, losing hope, family. When the girls talked about her dad committing suicide, when the boys talked about his uncle. And so that's, we went on, and they kept on saying, what if? And I said, no, that's from your broken heart. Don't think about it. You tell the world what it's like. You tell them what it's like to find your dad in the smokehouse. You tell them, share and tell them why we're hurting. This needs to stop. And so we made all our own money. I said, you are capable of picking berries and making jam. You're capable of sewing. We made baskets and fish and beading and crocheting. And those kids walked door to door and sold their tickets. We paid our own way into Fairbanks, our own hotel, vehicle, everything. And there was a real, and it was really tough. It was, I kept telling them, don't go dark, don't go deep, and stay positive. And there was a point where we arrived in Fairbanks, and one of the persons that we saw at the airport was like, did you hear about the little girl from a village? Did you hear about the little girl from a village? And I said, no, tell me later. So 10 times I'd overheard this. And the kids hadn't finished their cuss bucks. I went to a friend's house. I told the kids, stay in the hotel. I'm going to grab the cuss bucks. I'll finish the hoods and the skirts and kind of tack things together. And I got back to the room. Well, I went to my friend's house, and she said, did you hear about the little three-year-old girl? And I said, no, please tell me. And she said, 3 days ago, a little girl was medevaced in from a village and was tested positive for gonorrhea. And I just dropped down, and I was like, what are we doing? I mean, a three-year-old little girl, you know. And I got back to the hotel, and the kid said, Auntie, we know what happened to that little girl. And they had known the village, one of the girl's relatives was from the village. And I said, this is why we're going to walk, we're going to talk, and we're not going to hurt anymore. And those kids, we said a prayer before we walked on stage, and those kids just popped their heads up, walked up there, and just blasted it out. And ever since then, it's just been just an empowering experience for all of us. Go ahead.
Cynthia, I wanted to, as you were talking, I'm looking at the calls that are coming in and some of the emails that are coming in. And what you're talking about is the strength of speaking out, of reaching mm-hmm. out, and of standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves. A very, very mm-hmm. important component. There's an email from someone who's saying that this is a disservice on Talk of Alaska, because they're saying that that there is no help, that they can't get help, that public service announcements or going to the Department of Health and Social Services website to get help, that this doesn't work. What would you say in the face of a comment like this? This is someone who is struggling, it appears, and looking for help, but finding it not available in the way that they need it from some of the services that are available. What would you say to them? Because clearly in Tanana, you took this on yourself without a hotline or without other types of services. Tell us what you would recommend to this person that's struggling.
It is really, 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 really hard. And when your boots on the ground, and you're trying to find, there are numbers, there's, you know, think of a village in Amonit, Kweeklik, Shungnak, Igigik, Huslia, Ruby, Galena. You're related to everybody. I mean, we don't have, you're related to the VPSO, you're related to the health aid. You know, you can call a Caroline, and you can call an 800 number, national number. And really, it's finding your own, your infrastructure, and don't be afraid to stand up and speak out. I mean, little Bitsy Boo walked on stage and last year at Anchorage, and she said, protect the children, people. And I have five young Native boys that are suicidal right now, and many with mental health problems. There is no place for these children. I mean, you can send them into homes, and you can send them away, and you put them on pills, and you send them back with no follow-up, and it's tough. And that's part of my, and I know the state tries, I know, you know, they've got numbers, but really when you are that person that emailed in, it's tough, and you just have to keep asking, and you have to go to your family and immediate people, and, you know, there are choices. You just have to keep And I'm torn now. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I try to do the best of my ability, but mental health issues in rural Alaska is big, big, big. And there's the money and the outreach, and you know, you can call the care line and you can call the numbers, but really it's like us starting in our own backyard, educating and arming the children with knowledge to how to help family members. And a lot of times these kids are making adults accountable.
Mm-hmm. There is help out there, and I think that everybody mm-hmm. has to find what works for them. We also had an email comment from someone who says they have an 8-year-old son who talks about suicide on a weekly basis. They're thinking that it might just be some, this person is saying, is this a place for a courageous conversation, or is it something that seems more benign and should not be exalted or conversed about any more than it already has? It seems to me that what we're hearing both from your experience and from Eric is that we need to talk more. And I would suggest to this anonymous person who sent the email in that they reach out to some of those numbers and get some ideas about how to have that conversation, especially with someone so young. We're going to return to the phone lines now and hear from Lee in Homer. We have a number of calls stacked up, so let's get to some of those. Good morning, Lee.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing fine. Did you have some comments?
Yes, I did. I'd like to point out that in an earlier comment, that it's not considered murder. Really, it is. It's self-murder. And in a mm-hmm. broader perspective, our society as a whole, it's probably the most complex issue that faces humankind. And in a broader perspective, if you look at the way our society is going with corporate rule and the financial climate is on a suicidal path on a worldwide scale, you can see it with in a lot of factors. And as far as solutions, we all need to look in our own hearts for forgiveness, compassion, and we need to be local. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Lee, for your call. We're going to go next to Pat in Anchorage. Good morning, Pat.
Hi, good morning.
Did you have a comment?
I just, I'm looking for someone to talk to, or I'm extremely lonely and depressed, and I don't have any money, but I need someone to talk to, and my family is pretty much gone, and the ones that are available are extremely busy, and they don't have enough time to handle any of my situations. And I don't know now where I should go, or I don't really have any money, so. Most of these counselors or whatever, they want to charge something, and I'm on a pension, and I'm handicapped, and I have very little to spend on any counseling or anything like that. So I'm kind of at an impasse. I don't know what to do.
Well, Pat, certainly if you reach out to some of the resources that Eric was speaking about that will be on our website, we can give that care line number out again. And
I called the care line before, and they suggested a couple of things, and all of those places charge something, and I don't have the money to do it. And I missed apparently some of your program, and I don't know what Eric said or didn't say.
Well, the care line, the number that we're talking about is not a service that you would have to pay anything for.
I know that, but
this is a service.
They're limited what they can do, though.
You know,
we have the same issue. I live in a little village, and you know, where do you go? You know, a lot of people don't have the money, and I think, you know, going to any groups and just looking around in your neighborhood and church groups. And even I have a nephew that even went to AA and didn't even really have a drinking problem, but he said people were there and people were hurting. And he just pops in whenever and goes and speaks to this group of people, and it just has changed his life. So I think anywhere in your neighborhood, I mean, if there's a Baptist church or a Mormon church or a Lutheran church, and there are infrastructures within within your neighborhood that are amazing, that you do have resources. A lot of our villages, we don't, so we do our youth group.
And it does take effort, of course. Everyone, that's the challenge, is that people who feel isolated or who are self-isolating, it's harder and harder to reach out and look for a community group or maybe the senior center or a community center that has free activities and people that you can get together with. But there are mm-hmm. those things out there. And so I think that Cynthia and I are both encouraging you to do just that, is to reach out and look for some of those folks that you could spend time with and talk to and be less lonely, Pat. Good luck with that, with
what
those
was
efforts.
The website again?
The CareLine website is, our website is alaskapublic.org. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your call. We're talking about suicide prevention today on Talk of Alaska, and Cynthia Erickson is with us from Tanana by phone. Cynthia, probably what Pat was describing is, as you said, you're in a village and it's hard to find mm-hmm. resources. But as you said, people mm-hmm. can reach out, even in a small community, and find someone to talk to or someone to spend time with. Are there other things that you would recommend?
Well, like her, even if you go to a craft group, I mean, even if it's a sewing, you know, a quilter's guild, or I'm not sure if that's the name of it, or, you know, a beading. I think just looking around and looking at your options, and I tell people, just go to take a stained glass class or something real. Just go out there. But in between, you talk, you heal, you make friends, and you feel good. When the kids talk, you know, and I tell them, it's like carrying a backpack of rocks. You have this childhood trauma. All of these things that make you heavy, make you sad, anxiety, depression. There's a lot of molesting, a lot of child abuse, a lot of neglect. There's just, the lights are on and no one's home, and the kids just carry this around in their backpack. It's heavier and heavier. And when we talk about it, they leave, and I tell them, you're going to skip home. You threw a rock out. You're going to feel so much happier. And they're like, I already do. And so reaching out and trying to find your happiness is really, there are people, there are organizations. It's hard when you live in a village and, you know, he's talking about starting groups, and everybody knows everybody's business. We're all related. Everybody at the school, everybody at the clinic, you know, when there's a medevac, everybody comes in our store. You know, what was the plane last night? Who got medevac? So their business is our business, and you just have to really ignore the labels and what people say. And a lot of times I tell the kids, your worst enemies are going to be your family, but you have to start making your own happiness and not worry about what other people think or say or do. And speaking out against these issues, you're throwing rocks out. And you want to break the silence.
Absolutely.
We're not gonna submerge it anymore.
Absolutely. We'll be talking more about that and taking more calls after we take a short break as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Garrison Keillor, one of the most beloved radio hosts and acclaimed humorists, is coming to the Alaska State Fair with his America the Beautiful tour on Sunday, August 30th at 3 p.m. This 2.5-hour show will feature Prairie Home Companion classics with piano master Richard Dworsky, sound effects man Fred Newman, and other special guests. Tickets at alaskastatefair.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska State Fair.
Hello, I'm writing this about how drugs and alcohol can lead to depression and suicide. I lost one of my uncles, Frank Ambrose, to drugs and alcohol. My uncle tried drugs and alcohol around when he turned 21. My uncle got so addicted that he couldn't stop drinking. My parents and my other relatives tried to help him, but he didn't. He said he didn't want help. He said he was okay. Every time me and my brothers seen him when we were younger, he seemed joyful and happy. But he wasn't. He got hurt. He got depressed because of alcohol. I didn't know how he was hurting because he was always hiding from us. When he passed and found out he was hurting, when he was hurting, I got depressed. That made me cry even more. The last time I see him, he was driving away in his buddy's truck. I waved at him, but I didn't know that was the last time I was going to see him. I wanted to give him one last hug, but it was too late now. Now everywhere I go, if I'm chilling inside a house by myself and I hear things, I just get a feeling that he's chilling with me too. Thank you.
That was another one of the brave young voices, part of the group that Cynthia Erickson, who is on the line with us from Tanana, brought to AFN in Fairbanks. Cynthia, obviously a young man with a lot of pain and a lot of bravery to speak out. Is he still working with you and still in this group?
Was here staying with his dad, and they moved to Fairbanks, and he's doing good. He's, you know, it's hard for Native kids to go and live in the city, but he's, last I talked to him, he was dancing with the Fairbanks Native youth group, and he was doing better. I mean, it's always a struggle, and, you know, when a family member commits suicide, it's years and years and years of hurt and emptiness and you know, wondering why, and just what he was talking about, and just being haunted by it. And that's why I tell the kids, when you even think about it, wash it away, because look at the sadness and the hurt that you have to live with, and you never want to inflict that on anybody. Mm-hmm. It hurts a lot of people. But it's really hard. I mean, Eric was talking about sensationalizing, and we know the signs. We see the signs. Like I said, in the village of 250, everybody knows who's hurting. Everybody who knows who's got the anxiety and depression. But it's stepping up and taking yourself out of your comfort zone to help them and confront them and deal with it. A lot of people, you know, you can get training and training and training, but who's going to step up and be there and dealing with it? And where do you go? What do you do? And it's a hard issue. And when they do commit suicide, there is more recognition in their death sometimes than when they're alive. I mean, we fly in, we build a casket, we hunt, we come from all over, and we, you know, have these potlatches. And then afterwards, in our culture, the Athabascans, 2 years later, I've had four of my brothers and sisters die. We have a potlatch that honors them, and we sew, we bead, we make all sorts of stuff. It helps you through your sorrow and your heartache. Mm-hmm. So these kids or people commit suicide, and then we turn around and have a big, huge funeral, and then we have a big, huge potlatch, and we have a basketball tournament, and their names on shirts, and baseball, and it's like, that's one thing that the kids, and it's hard for the kids because you're kind of going against family members, but mm-hmm. I'm like, we don't want to see their names. We don't want to have tournaments. That's not a good thing. That's putting them in, that's we're fighting against ourselves.
Right, right. And I want to, we only have a couple of minutes left. Cynthia, thank you so much for being on with us today and sharing the work that you're doing. And thank you for the work that you are doing with Grandmother's House and helping young people. I want to take a call from Sherry in Fairbanks, who works in mental health. I've had a series of emails from someone who is upset with us that we're not talking about the mental mm-hmm. health component of this, and how a lot of these issues can't just be dealt with by simply reaching out or encouraging people to talk. Sherry, maybe you can give us some insight into the mental health aspects and what else is needed medically for people who are struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts.
There's a lot of opportunities out there if there was a bit of funding, but the funding has been so wiped out across the board in the state in the area of mental health. And people might argue with me about that, but I'm 65 years old. I've been a mental health practitioner. I recently retired since 30. I worked in four different states. I have a little bit of knowledge and background about mental health, and what I see happening here, even in Fairbanks, it's extremely sad. You know, there was a time not too long ago, maybe Cindy remembers it, when TCC had a program. It was here in at TCC in Fairbanks, but kids would be flown in, and they got individual mental health treatment from trained professionals to help them deal with trauma, who in many cases had a background living and working in villages. The professionals did. So it was a pretty good program. And we had, one time we had peer counseling to help prevent suicide. That was out in Galena, I believe. But as far as I can tell, so much funding has just been wiped out. And then as Pat, that lady mentioned, who is on disability and can't afford to pay a counselor, believe me, my heart goes out to her, because insurance companies really don't have coverage for mental health. And those of us who enjoy that work, are committed to that work, and have done it many years, we either have to go find work elsewhere, and now I'm retired and I have health issues. So, you know, but it's the insurance companies.
Right.
You check into it. The coverage for mental health is not there.
Thank you, Sherry, for sharing your thoughts. I wish we could have got to some more of the callers that are on the line, but thank you to my guests today, Eric Boyer and Cynthia Erickson, talking to us from Tanana. Thank you to our engineer, Dave Waldron, on the phones, Josh Edge and Monica Goki. Thank you to you for listening in today. Please check out our website, alaskapublic.org, for some resources on suicide prevention.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. Alaska Pacific University is a private liberal arts and sciences university that emphasizes student engagement with the social, cultural, and environmental issues in Alaska and the world. This message sponsored by APU. Alaska Pacific University offers an affordable education, small class sizes, and life-friendly schedules designed to support your personal and professional goals. APU is still accepting applications for fall 2015. Find out about financial aid and the promised tuition grant and apply online at alaskapacific.edu before Saturday, August 1st. This message sponsored by Alaska Pacific University. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.